rehearsal.
I didn't see that. All right. Someone going to the front row. I love it. I love it. I think we're all feeling better now. Are we on the same LBS? Okay.
Would you mind going back there and taking one of the white ones? Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, I want to welcome you all here. This is Grow Group Training 201, and I don't know what the schedule calls. What does the schedule call that? The official title?
Handling real problems in real time.
Is that what it says? It says that in there? Next step to discipleship. Okay. Yeah, what it should be is handling real problems in real time. And Sherry and I discuss sort of the dynamics of Midnight Madness, and as the evening gets on, sometimes energy can come down, but you know, God created Red Bull for certain reasons, and probably it's reasons like this. But we thought it would be really, really cool if we created something that y'all could interact with, people could participate in, and we could all learn together on. And so you're guinea pigs tonight. We're not just going to lecture you. If you're in 101, you got a lot of lecture. Amen. It's all good, though. But this is going to be a little bit more interactive, and we don't want you to sit back. We want you engaged. We want you thinking. And we recognize that our better answers and better solutions to some of the issues that come up in grow groups are going to be when we work on them together. And so that's what we want to do. You want to pray and explain?
Yes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these men and women that are interested in leading a grow group and are being a part of a grow group, or maybe they're men's and women's grow leaders. We thank you for their commitment to serve you. We thank you for the overflow of their great love for you that they want to pour out into others. And so, Lord, we pray that tonight as we converse about how to lead a grow group well and effectively, that the conversations would help us to think how to deal with some of the situations that could possibly arrive in our group. Lord, bring to our memory every verse of Scripture that would possibly shed light. Help us to remember. We love you. We want to honor and glorify you with this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now you want to share how we're going to split?
Okay, so what we're going
to do. You want me to give the overview?
I think we should do the overview.
Yeah, let me give you the overview. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to split into groups of three. We'll call them a triad. And there are three hats for that group. There is the grow group leader, a grow group member, and then sort of the person that maybe has an issue or a problem, a.k.a. that's me, Captain D, dysfunctional. So we'll give you case studies. These are real studies. Names have been changed to protect the innocent. But there are situations that have come up in grow groups at our church over the last 10, 15 years. And since they've come up in the past, we know that they'll probably come up again in the future. So what we want you to do is, as a group of three, one of you choose, I'll be the grow group leader, and I'll respond from that vantage point. I'll be the person that's got this issue going on, and then I'll put on the hat of the member. So you'll each have a hat on, and we will want to talk about this case study from the vantage point of that. Like, what are the issues? How would I respond? What would help me? What would hinder me? And so we have some guidelines of how we want to discuss things. And you want me to go over those, Sherry, or do you want to do it?
No, you can.
Okay. Everyone in the group needs to be able to share. And so if someone is typically quiet, unlike me, you need to invite them to, hey, what do you think you would want to do in this situation? You want everybody's input. You're going to want to not use real names. So if you're like, well, I was in a grow group one time and David, you know, don't use real names, make it all up. We want to keep confidentiality. Be as succinct as you can be because time is limited. We have a lot of case studies. We hope that each group can get to two of them, and we'll assign you one, and then you can pick the second one. Be honest. In other words, if you think, don't just, this is the right answer. Please don't. Be honest. Like, what would you really think? What would you really feel? What would you really want to see happen in that group? Listen to each other and take notes, because we will share, and we want you to have fun. We hope you meet somebody, you know, in here and enjoy that. We do not have to be in single gender groups, by the way. I think we can learn a lot from different perspectives. And so in this case, it would be probably good if we had, you know, just anyone, any of the three can be, you know, guys, girls, or whatever. We're good. I think that would help us get better perspectives, at least I think, because I have grown a lot learning from you. So.
Thank you.
Aww. She pays me. So thank you. That's great.
Okay, so this is how we're going to split into our groups. On the tables are letters. Every table should have a letter. If in the corner of your paper at the top you have a letter, you're going to go to that table. There will be three people at every table.
That's how you're going to do it. She tried to explain this to me, and I just was like, I don't understand.
If your letter is A, you're going to do case study 1. If your letter is B, you're going to do case study 2. Yes, ma'am.
Are we moving permanently or
just
permanently?
You're going to move permanently. Anthony is no longer sequestered to the front row.
I am here in this table.
But you're not trapped in the middle. That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, feel free to sit however you need to sit to be able to do this.
I'm actually going to be
now, are we sure we have 3 C's, 3 B's, 3 D's?
Let's take the very last question.
You don't get double that.
I love to see.
Okay. Here, you want to sit on this side?
We should have worn it.
Okay.
Here,
here. Okay, before you begin, I want to reiterate what Eric said. One person in your group is the group leader, one person in the group is a participant, and one person is the person that the case study is about. So you need to kind of decide that up front. Some of the things you want to talk about are what are the issues or concerns to be aware of, what responses are likely, how would you respond to those responses, what could be said or done to improve the situation, and how can a win be created for the case study?
We've got a couple more up there, too. So.
What scriptures come to your mind that are relative to the situation? What is the role of the leader, the member, and the person? And then come up with your own questions. We're going to give this about how many minutes, Eric?
15 to 20. 20 minutes.
And then we're going to come back and you need a spokesman.
Said, wow, what was the wow for? Is that like too much time or not enough time?
You're just not playing around, I think is what.
Yeah, we're not. We just
I'm
have one
sorry.
Hour.
We can take a nap. Like, I got, like, juice and a cot over here. And, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, I'm just totally giving you a nap.
So then when we come back together, we want you to share with the whole class how your group decided to handle the situation that is your thing.
We're excited because this used to be a lecture-based breakout, and after last year, you look at reviews of people putting stuff in, and I felt like people didn't get enough from this. I think this is a really important, like, learning opportunity that we have, and so we discussed that this might be a really good way for us to learn better and enjoy it a little bit more, and we're all in grow groups anyway, so this is like the size of a grow group almost, 3 to 5 people, so on your marks, get set, go.
I'm Holly.
I'm Eric. Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
How she responds.
I'm kind of ridiculous. Time might be on for us.
I'm I'm going to continue.
Okay, y'all, take 2 minutes and try to conclude your thoughts and write some of those down.
Get a speaker.
And appoint someone to share.
That was a grocery list. Share. So if
how did you want to do that? You want to just randomly start
yeah,
A
just,
and then go to
no,
randomly go to B and then
no.
randomly go to C?
No,
or did
we
you want to
start
randomly?
Right here with Holly's group.
Oh, that's so good. Okay. That's very random.
Yeah.
That's very random. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I guess I will
read a little bit about your case study.
Okay, so we had troubled Tom, who has serious undiagnosed mental or emotional problems that remained undiagnosed. The person was awkward, and it took several months to figure out exactly what was going on with the struggles. And it could have been untreated paranoia, schizophrenia, depression, or any other disorder. The struggles are manifesting in the way that the group is often disrupted and led down a rabbit trail. And so... Clint was the leader, Adriana was troubled Tom, and I was just awkward Annie sitting next to him. and so we just kind of talked about, like, how this would go, and we said that the ultimate win would be for a one-on-one conversation with Tom from the leader, suggesting, like, hey, we see some things that are, like, outside of my realm of expertise. Like, there's some stuff going on that you've mentioned that we don't think we can handle as a group. So here's the number to our counseling office. Here's the number to a doctor that we know. We said for the girl, if it was a girl version, do you want us to go to the appointment with you? Like, I'll sit in the lobby for 45 minutes while you talk to someone. You know, like, can we get you there? We're not kicking you out, but, like, can we get you to this place? Because I think that would be the thing that helps you. Yes, sir.
Why, if it's just a girl, would you offer to go with
Clint? Well, I'm a girl, so that's
yeah.
what I would do. But Clint
yeah.
said that might be awkward.
Yeah, I think it could be, yeah. So I would say more just kind of like check up, more accountability. I would just communicate with them kind of constantly and just kind of, I would probably be more likely to do that than
okay.
just with them, yeah.
yeah.
But
said,
it depends on the person, though.
And it also depends. You gave us a lot of emotional disorders
yeah.
to work with.
We eliminated three from the list.
Depression, I would talk to that person different than a paranoid
yeah.
person than a schizophrenic person, you know, like.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so,
no, that's fair.
But anyway, he was saying, like, dudes might, fellas, guys might, I don't know, I'm not speaking for you, but he said they might, like be uncomfortable with that, but, like, here's what we think is best. I'll follow up in a week. Might like challenge a man to do something, whereas a girl would feel maybe attacked. But if I go with you, the relationalness of our nature might appreciate that.
And I'm going to throw this out in real life here. There was a guy in a pretty big crisis moment, and stuff was going on in his life that was well beyond the normal emotional. Where like his reactions to situations were, it was like amplified 1,000 times. And it was blowing up his marriage. It was blowing up his job. It was blowing up everything. And I said, this is well beyond the scope of all that we're doing. And I said, God can break through, but often he uses counseling. And I said, let's just go right now, and I'll drive you over to the church, and we'll go up to the 6th floor. Let's just schedule an appointment. I said, I love you, and God's bigger than all this, but I think we need some help. And he said, thank you, and we went.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't awkward. I didn't go in there with him,
right.
but I took him here. And I'm just sharing that with y'all as I think, depending on the relationship, like you said, if it's week one or two, but I think it's been a few months, so I'm just going to challenge the men in here to say, it is okay for us to put an arm around another man and say, let's get help.
Yeah.
I love you. And we're going to get help.
Yeah.
I just want to challenge y'all. You may be uncomfortable with that. And it's not wrong if you are uncomfortable with that. But the paralytic man that got brought by his friends
yeah.
to the foot of Jesus is a model. It's a model for us. Okay? Rip the roof off for somebody if you need to. And lower them to the foot of Jesus. So do not be afraid to carry someone to Jesus. Don't. Okay.
If Don were in here, Don Mutton, he would say that this person, in theory, should never have been in a grow group. Because when you put a person in a grow group, so if you are ever a men's or women's grow leader, this is not the kind of people we want in a grow group. Not that we're trying to exclude anybody, that's not our goal at all. But what happens, just like if you get a person who doesn't know Christ in a grow group, that's not a goal either. Because it hijacks the group. The whole group becomes focused on the salvation of this person or helping this person or being their salvation, you know, whatever the situation may be. And so the purpose of grow groups is that everyone in the group would grow spiritually, and our objective not to be mean or exclusive to anyone. We want them at everything else, but we don't want to put people in groups that hijack groups. Is that, you think that's an okay way to say it, Eric?
Yeah, but if, let's just say they have schizophrenia and they're taking medicine. So you've taken them to the doctor, they're on medicine, they've got stability.
Right.
I think that's totally a great place for them to be. They still need friendship, they still need prayer, they still need accountability. If, however, it is the, you know, whatever the dysfunctional name was that I came up with, whatever that name is, yeah, if that's just, the whole group gets wagged by that person, that guy or that girl, every week after week after week, yes, as the group leader, you may, did y'all discuss, but you may have to...
We talked about, like, maybe keeping, like, as a group leader, just as a brother and sister in Christ, like, hey, like, until we get some of this stuff settled, why don't you and I have lunch? And, you know,
that's
like,
awesome.
Like, keep a relationship. Because, like, I know that people, maybe not with this, I haven't personally dealt with this, but with when they feel ostracized or, like, you know, like, someone is a little bit of accountability coming at them, they can feel isolated, and that's never the goal. Like, you are family to me because you love Jesus and I love Jesus, or I want you to love Jesus, and so, like, coming at you with everything I got. So, like, I don't want to break our relationship, but for this situation, like, maybe we need to change what it looks like for us right now.
That's
and
great.
So, in, like, a, you know, anybody can come, but we're going to do this outside of the grow group time. Adriana said that she meets with her sisters, which A, I love, and then B, they set a time limit because sisters can talk ad nauseum to each other, and so when they're sharing accountability, they have a time limit. So, like, hey, everybody gets 12 minutes, and then we'll discuss that. And so maybe also in the interim, as they're growing, like, you could put on a really, like, practical, pragmatic kind of approach. Like, everyone in the group's going to get 15 minutes to talk. Timer goes off, and then we're going to switch. And that way you really can protect until it gets more normal. I really appreciated that.
And by the way, our women's minister, Carolyn O'Neill, she's, you know, was in a group for several years with, like, high-capacity ladies like Nancy Taylor and other ladies. And they actually used a timer in their group. They're all very busy. They're all very successful in ministry and other areas. And they used a timer because they all were oversharers. Mm-hmm. And so they just wanted to be to the point of, we want to honor each other, and so we'll just divide up this time as we need to. So that's a great... Y'all did great, by the way.
Thanks.
Yeah.
If you ask someone to kind of do this, like you're saying to this person, you only get 15 minutes, and they have this propensity to expound. Another thing you can do so that they don't feel ostracized is invite them to everything else your class is doing. You know, we want you at game night, we want you at Koinonia, we want you at every event, everything we're doing. And we really, you know, just be that person that's very inclusive so that if you ask them to be less than they want to be in a group, they feel they're still loved on and included and accepted everywhere.
Yeah, and you're getting coffee with them or lunch with them. That's huge. I mean, that goes a long way to say, I care about you, I love you, I'm with you. But this is a better context for this.
Yeah.
You know, that you're honoring all the other relationships.
And then they can't have all of the time of lunch or whatever, and they don't have to feel like they're...
Right.
That's good. Good. Randomly, where are we going next, Sherry?
Who wants to go next?
Oh, I do. I got...
Who wants to go next? Come on, y'all volunteer so we don't have to ask you.
Welcome.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Also a Holly.
Yeah.
Holly. Two Hollies.
Yeah. She's tall Holly, I'm short Holly.
Yeah. Lower case number 6. Rarely prepared Rick, person who never comes prepared. Whether this person is lazy or super busy, the result is the same. They come to group unprepared almost every time. The group conversation seems to struggle.
Okay.
Why is so lovely to say?
Well, one of the things that she brought up is asking some questions of the person. And I brought up maybe you should, like, ask those one-on-one versus, like, let's have a group discussion at how terrible this person is, you know? So, and, like, the grow group or the grow group leader, like, have a separate lunch or dinner, like, and ask some questions, like, you know, what's going on? What are you wanting to get out of this group? What are your goals for this group? Are you interested in doing this study? Are you trying to make friends? Like, why did you sign up for it in the first place? And just kind of asking some probing questions to figure out, like, what's really going on. And then ask of that person, like, if you really want to commit to this, how can we help you do this? Mm-hmm. Like, do you need accountability? Do you need text reminders? What, you know, what do you need? What can we do to help you? So
that's awesome. Really good. I've done this kind of stuff with Eric for a number of years now. And one of the best ideas I've ever heard for people that don't seem to get it done during the week. Do you remember sharing this about your group?
Oh, I have no idea which one.
The group that nobody ever got ready. And so you went
to
the group.
Oh, we did when we read.
And then you read when you got there.
Yeah, I mean, we literally were, we did it all in the group time. And with things like Right Now Media, I don't know,
yeah.
how many of y'all have an account with them? Our church has an unlimited account. We pay a block of money to them every year. So, ladies, do you have an account, right? Mm-hmm. If you want access, email Sherry, ladies, guys, email me, and I'll send you an invite. Email me from the email you want the invite to go to, and it's free. And there are tons of 15 to 35-minute video series that are like 6 weeks in a row or 8 weeks in a row. And then you can watch the video together in the group time and then discuss that with each other there. So it's a very self-contained group. And it makes during the week more following up on prayer requests and text and, hey, I was thinking about the job interview today. How did that go? Like just loving on and caring for each other. Does that make sense? Because I do know seasons of life. When I was in grad school, it was just really, really hard to add another book to read. And so, you know, you end up in that.
Well, and the purpose of the group is not the content of the study. The purpose of the group is relationships.
Yeah.
The content of the study is the vehicle or the tool to create a reason for relationships.
Hey, two things y'all said that are really awesome. Goals and why. I would say in your first 4 weeks of meeting, that's part of getting to know each other. Hey, why don't you sign up for a grow group? What are you hoping God does in your life? So you may find out that someone's coming out of a bad relationship and they're just needing to get their feet on the ground and get their head and their priorities straight again. So I met a guy last night. That was his story. Hey, well, I'm going to get into a grow group, and I'm coming to this study now, and I just want to get my heart right. I'm coming out of a relationship, and I lost focus. Totally normal, totally proper reason. So if you're leading that group, early in the group, you ought to have a conversation with each other together, sharing that as part of your story when you share your story with each other. Because that will help you come back to that later on, just like you said. Whoever said that. It wasn't a Holly, it was a...
Emily.
It was an Emily. Awesome.
Okay, who wants to go next?
And they had 30 seconds.
Okay, we have case study number 4, super spiritual Susan or Sid or whoever. Basically, it's the debate of Arminianism versus Calvinism. That's always ends so well. Always right, no grace. This person is well-versed in Scripture and, in fact, seems to have the private line directly to God. One problem might be that some of what they know is slightly off from what Scripture teaches, and they don't see that they may be understanding it wrongly. We identified some of the problems that some of the people in the group might feel their time's being monopolized. Others who might be new to the faith might say, I know absolutely nothing. What do I have to contribute? Should I even stay in this group? And then you might have another person who's spiritual that has a different thing, ready to pretty much, rather than, you know, we have a grow group that turns into Thunderdome, pretty much.
That's great.
Yeah, and so...
Good movie reference there. Got to rent that.
And so also related this to not only someone who's super spiritual, but also that this takes a long time, maybe as a sermon piece or might just go on a tangent and really, like you said, monopolize time or so kind of an idea would be, you know, really offer up the group to or offer up time to someone else, hey, what do you think about this? So, well, what's your thought on this? To where you open up other ideas, and if, you know, spiritual Susan is slightly off, maybe they're here the common core of what the group as a whole believes, and that can be discussed fuller.
Or if it kind of keeps up, now they're not like malicious, but they just don't realize it, you know, kind of just pull them aside and be like, hey, I realize you're pretty well knowledgeable in this. However, what context did you read this in? What did you get out of it? I mean, why do you believe what you believe? And then that opens a question like, what are you getting out of the group? So do you want to teach or do you want to convey? Or, I mean, you're not trying to discourage them, but you're trying to figure out why they're as heavy-handed as pretty, they're not in doubt about anything. Why?
They'll tend to study in that group with an individual like that. Study will squeeze everything else out of that group.
Mm-hmm.
It'll squeeze up all the time for prayer, accountability, encouragement, all of it. So what you can also do is flip the order of that group where you begin with prayer, you check in with each other for accountability, and you leave the study for the last 20 minutes of the group. And set that timer. And when it hits, say, hey, we're going to honor the host, whoever is hosting it. They've got to get up early for work tomorrow. They've got to get this done tomorrow. And so that way you, I don't know if you do this at work or not, but like if I have a phone call that I know is going to run really, 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 really long if I'm not careful, I will make it 5 minutes before I have to leave the office so that I'm not lying when I tell them, hey, I've got 5 minutes, hit me really quick and tell me what's up. So if I've ever done that to you, forgive me, but that means that I knew that that conversation could take an hour. And so I will save it for a 5 minute or a 10 minute so that I'm budgeting my time in my day and I'm not losing an entire hour on one phone call, which I'm okay with, but I'd rather do a meal with someone if we're gonna need more quality time. I'd rather get a meal face to face than sit on the phone. Because I don't like the phone anyway. I mean, in there. That was good.
That was really good.
And you, I did not hear from you, by the way. And give me your name. You have a
Alicia.
Real name. Alicia. Okay. Yeah. What were some of your thoughts?
Well, just like thinking from like I was the group member. Their stance is that it could really like throw off a group that if one person is taking up all the time, then they might feel discouraged to include or participate, and that really just takes apart from the relationships of the group and keeping that accountability.
That's good. Yeah, protect the group because the group matters, and the group is the sum of the individuals. And we can't let one individual just... Okay, move it on.
Who would like to go next?
Next.
We can go ahead and build on that because we did the conversation monopolizer as well. So I've had several groups over the years that were with one or two talkers, and it was all like beneficial stuff, but then a couple of people who were more quiet didn't say much, and so I think some of the beneficial things we came up with were, if it's not too bad, start off just by asking the quieter people to if they have an opinion on it or if they have any thoughts. But if the monopolizer continues to just kind of talk over them, maybe pull them aside so they don't get embarrassed in front of the whole group. And instead of saying, hey, you're talking too much, shut it down, more just try to put it in a way that almost makes them feel needed and necessary. Like, hey, so-and-so is super quiet. I know you're super comfortable in your skin and very outgoing and stuff. I'm worried about so-and-so not really contributing much. Let's see if we can help them in the next grow groups to try to maybe we dial it back and get them to and bring them out of their shell a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe actually he has like the gift of leadership, and he actually shows them in a way that he's exposing his ideas, but he doesn't know how to. But then just put him aside, just like Corey said, and then just tell him, you know, this is another way to maybe examine your potential as a next leader by empowering the others who are still don't have an opinion yet. Or having actually participated and empower them as well, mentor them.
That's an awesome way to disciple a future leader. That's really a good idea.
No. I don't want to. I can be that dude. So
I don't say a word.
Honest confessions.
I am that person, and so a lot of us know that. So you can also just tell us, like. I don't know if you've ever seen the Bloodworth teach, but like Craig has a secret signal for Shannon when she's going too long. And I love that about their relationship. Like, I love that they know each other really well. And so I've been this person, like, if I'm talking too long, tell me. And then, you know, so sometimes as an external processor, we appreciate the conversation telling us they're talking too much.
My wife will say, we've got it. Like, I will give a million illustrations. And even my oldest child, she's 16 now, so now she's started doing that too. Oh. Dad, I've got it. Okay. You really have it?
I had two more really good ones.
I know, just like, one more. I think it's really true, this external processor, people who talk to think versus people who think long before they say anything. And, you know, some people are just that way, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a different way of processing. And so sometimes you do get people in a group that don't have a lot to say. So you have to stop and say, do you have any thoughts on the subject? What do you think?
That is one of the negatives of doing a group where it's all self-contained, by the way. I think people that are more introverted, they get much better, deeper thoughts than I ever get. My thoughts are the same whether I've read it for 5 hours and thought about it for months or if I read it for 5 minutes. I mean, I process it really quick and I come up to my conclusion pretty quickly. So I like people that are more introverted. My wife's very introverted, and so I like her to read something. And if we're going to talk about it, I'd rather her read it a week before we ever talk about it. And then she'll like bring in all sorts of great thoughts and ask all these good questions that make me better. And so I think the groups are better when they're not just all extroverts or all introverts, but that we get that mixture. And so the one negative of the self-contained group is you really limit the introverted person from... Anyway, go ahead. Next.
We can go. Ours was private prayer, Pete. A person who won't pray out loud. This person is fairly conversational in the group, but avoids praying. It becomes absolutely silent when prayer time comes. There's never any explanation, but they simply never speak a word during the prayer time. So we talked a lot about in the beginning, like, fears of why they wouldn't want to talk. Maybe they are afraid they're not going to say the right thing. They may not elaborate enough. They may trip up on the words. So we talked about ways you could eliminate those fears is recognizing how well your group knows each other. So, because at first we thought, well, maybe we'll just have them pray for the person to the right of them. But if you're not very familiar with them, like Shikora Alyssa said, you might pray something that might trigger something in them. But being cautious in that, but also just sensitive, but also giving them like a specific person once you get more comfortable. And just say, okay, now we're going to pray for two things. That say everyone would go around and share two things and think about the person to your right when they share, because you're going to be praying for them. And then you only have to remember two things. And it's just two things that would be for the coming week. So it's not like you're having to pray for their entire 6 months and like the outcome of where they're going to be at that time. So I thought that might be more comfortable. And then also, as the leader, like setting the reaction. So if somebody does get really nervous and maybe they kind of just trail off or don't provide a lot of explanation, or you know, just if they feel embarrassed, and you can kind of sense it when that happens. It's not reacting quickly, but maybe just kind of encouraging them in things that maybe we're not as strong in. If prayer is maybe something that you feel more comfortable with, just say, hey, thanks for praying, because I just can't read the scripture sometimes out loud because I get very intimidated by all the names. But somebody of that nature might be able to read and, like you said, process and report, like be able to say that easier than just praying to God, because they're worried they may not be viewed as spiritual enough.
I was that person. And so I grew up in the Episcopal faith. Every prayer I ever prayed, except the ones in my head, were printed in a prayer book. And so I knew exactly what I was supposed to say. So when my husband and I were first married, we joined a small group. And every week, we all prayed out loud for one another, except for me. It was about a year and a half before I worked up the courage to open my mouth. So sometimes people learn just by example. And it's really scary because I thought I was going to do it wrong. And so sometimes, you know, just like that guy that talked tonight in the main session, he talked about how other people covered for him. I'm not saying you can cover for the entire group, but you might cover for a person that's really, really afraid of messing it up. I was so afraid I was going to do it all wrong. Not that I couldn't talk to God by myself, but not in front of people, because I could really mess them up.
Oh, you talked about, too, like maybe at the beginning, you know, have a little paper to write or some questions, especially when you're talking, like what you're going to study, or, you know, send out a text or something, just so we know as a leader at the beginning who's, you know, comfortable praying out loud and who's not. So we're not just so, okay, Pete, why don't you pray tonight? And they're just sitting there terrified and whatever.
Right.
Yeah, and it is not a grave spiritual sin if someone is uncomfortable praying out loud. So I just, you know, it's easy for us to say that, well, if you pray out loud, you're more spiritual than someone that just likes to pray. You know what I mean? So I think we also want to guard our judgmental heart is there as well, which is a sin. is to understand that people's faith is a unique expression of their relationship with Christ. And I realize that I have one child I'll finish the story. She really doesn't like to pray out loud. She never has. And early on, as a dad, I got really mad about it one time. And there are very few things I have regretted in my life, but one of them is that I let it make me angry. And it shouldn't have. It's shameful that it did, because it really is not a reflection on me or her at all. It doesn't have anything to do with anything except I wanted her to pray out loud. And so, you know, she was very, very young, and it's like, you know, you learn from your mistakes of your first one. I've apologized to her, and she's forgiven me, and she doesn't even remember it because she was young. But, you know, I wasn't yelling and screaming, but I know she sensed my anger, you know, because kids are very, very sensitive to the feelings of their parents. They just sense it. And so I would just also encourage us that we talk about grow groups are a safe place, a gracious place, where people can learn to take their next step. So let's also keep that in mind, that our faith is not a one-size-fits-all expression. That, like you said, it might take you 6 months. And I was actually going to recommend using a Book of Common Prayer, or there's a great book called Valley of Vision. It's a collection of puritanical prayers. It's beautiful, wonderful, and eminently challenging. You could actually let them pick one out in the week and bring it and read it to the group.
There's also a book called Praying God's Word, awesome. Beth Moore wrote. I mean, the guys might not want to use that, but I'm sure there's guy-authored books.
I've got an app from Beth Moore on Praying God's Word.
Yeah, so to pray the word doesn't get better than that.
Another group, I'm sorry, we're going to run on. Who has not done it? Come on, eh? sneaking out over there.
You can be my good friend, Dan. Hey, can my good friend Dan join the group? This is the person who has many friends. Actually, almost everyone they meet becomes another instant friend. So we really don't know a whole lot about Dan, if they're a believer or not, but you would definitely explain to them how the grow groups work and how it is a closed group.
Can you talk a little bit louder?
I'm sorry.
Because I can hear you fine, but I don't think they'll hear you at all.
That it is a closed group, you explain to them, because you don't want to squash a friendly friend's spirit. Obviously, they have a heart for outreach and reaching out to people and inviting them in, and that's a really great thing. So you might want to steer them in, inviting them to the class, you know, that we're part of. Also, the Koinonia, I think they can be a part of that.
Yes.
And then, you know, as you get to know Dan, then when the grow groups open up, then they can join in. So just explaining that and not, you know, including them in activities in the class and encouraging friends to continue inviting people to the class.
At the end of session one, I had somebody say to me, they were in a group, it was going great, everybody was getting really transparent, and all of a sudden, somebody in leadership in the class dumped in a new person, and it destroyed the group, because all the vulnerability is gone, because this group has all these relationships, and now you pour this new person in, and nobody has a relationship with him, and the group, the transparency ceases. And so that's...
Man, it makes me furious.
Unless the group has agreed that we're ready for somebody to come in. You know, maybe you're at a juncture, it's the fall right after the summer, y'all have already been together a year, and you want to add somebody. It's not that you can't, it's that it needs to be like the group makes the choice first.
And we try to launch groups every 6 months in every class. We want to launch in January-February window, so we're going to be launching. If you haven't launched yet, hopefully you'll be launching in the next week, with milestones kicking off next week, next Wednesday. And then we also want to launch the school year as that begins. So we'll be identifying leadership in June and July, training that leadership, and then launching new groups in August, September.
And last year, some Summit classes launched groups actually like May, June. Mm-hmm. So that's an option, too. We can launch 3 times a year. If your class wants to do that, just let me know, and we'll have a brief training where we can talk about the things we talk about in 101 so that you're ready to go. Okay, next group.
That should have been the last one.
Did you?
No.
No. Yeah, you guys are all sitting tight back there. No, I was, like, waiting on it.
Our team is there, so.
Oh, okay.
We had Bleeding Heart Bob. Person's common in small groups. He or she really tries to be a faithful attender, but so many misfortunes occur in their life that they're frequently absent, often struggle with illness, have car troubles, health issues in their extended family, difficulties at work, and a myriad of other trials. They really need the small group because they need support. They're so needy, and the group feels ill-equipped to deal with all their misfortunes. The other group members are almost ashamed to share their prayer requests. So this one was difficult because you have to send them grace and know that they've got a lot going on, but it really can be one of the biggest things to disrupt the unity when there's that one person monopolizing all the time with just all of their issues. And one of the things that we noticed is this person was not a regular attender. So perhaps if the grow group leader could pull this person aside and talk to them about their commitment to the group to make sure that they still have that commitment there, as well as what is their commitment to, one, the group, and two, to grow. Because the challenge, if this person is coming in with trials and saying, like, what's your perspective, what's your feedback, and then taking that out and putting that to action, that's one thing. But if it's a person with constant problems and not growing from it, not learning from it, not valuing any insight and wisdom into that, then that's another. But sitting with that person one-on-one and kind of trying to fill that out, how committed they are, and then potentially we talked about maybe pushing them towards counseling to talk about all the misfortunes there, but still support them.
What about someone else? Have y'all experienced a unusual amount of almost like a Job type of scenario in someone's life that's been in a group? Kelly, you're shaking your head.
Well,
yeah. So
I guess like sometimes it's not like an ongoing thing. Mary Beth and I are in the same small group right now, and it's like sometimes it's just been like someone has had a crazy week, and we just Mary Beth maybe even suggested this, but someone said, let's pray over you right now. And it, like, calmed the whole thing. Like, it's amazing how God's presence can just be among so many people praying and over someone. And it calms that person's heart. Because, like, in the moment, you're, like, there are times when we, many times where we can just pray for someone and, like, sincerely mean it, but not in the moment. But it's so powerful to pray in the moment. And it kind of let us, like, go on to the next person because we were sharing prayer requests, but then all this stuff came out, and we were like, I was so happy she shared, and then it was such a blessing to be able for everyone to get to pray over her. And, like, just a few people prayed, kind of popcorn. But I thought that was really neat, a neat way to, like, address them and then, you know, like, give it to God, too.
And there's freedom in your groups. Not to be rigidly, well, this week if we don't pray, have accountability, do a study, and connect that this is a failed group. Over the course of 6 months, you should find that there should be a balance of all of the above, but you may find yourself in a group, and all you need to do in that group is to pray for one of the guys or one of the girls. You may find yourself in the group, and it just needs to be about accountability because there is a battle going on for somebody's purity, someone's freedom. Let the Spirit guide you and do not feel straitjacketed by we have to get all of this in. As a life Bible study teacher, we have punted my lesson before to pray for a couple that had a miscarriage. It was not worth doing the lesson. That is not why we have life Bible study. Now, if that happened every week, we wouldn't want to call it life Bible study. We would just call it a prayer group, okay? But that was just but one or two Sundays in the course of the quarter, it's not a big deal. So have that freedom, you know, as y'all are thinking through that. And that is a very, very, very hard deal. That might be one of the harder case studies, you know, is that kind of dynamic. And we have a couple of minutes. We're supposed to be done at 10:20.
20?
Oh. Yeah. So any questions, and has this been a helpful exercise for y'all? We were just talking, while y'all were talking, We felt like this was really cool, just to hear y'all talking, discussing, and all of that. Introverts in here, did you feel like you had a chance to get connected in that? Yes? Extroverts, you rule the roost on this stuff. So introverted people, you feel like you got to contribute and engage?
Yes.
Dude, that's, oh, yeah, I love it. Yes? Yeah?
Where did that come from?
Yes? Okay. Well, hey,
I want to encourage you guys. There was a group in Summit some years ago that I was, I had kept talking to the leader of this group, and there was a young lady in the group, one that was unsaved, and one that had lost a really close relative that she was very close to. And she was so devastated. And the group ended up spending like gazillion hours together. I mean, they were together a lot. And they would go late some nights, but they were together a lot, and they prayed for one another a lot. And they really did life together through these hurts and heartaches. And at the end of it all, one Sunday I walked into my office, and there's this girl sitting next to my desk. I'd never seen her before. And she goes, she introduced herself, and she told me she was getting baptized that day. And she proceeded to tell me she was the one that had lost this cousin that was real close to her, almost like a sister. And she said, my relationship with the Lord that has grown so much through my grow group has caused my parents, who were on the verge of divorce, to come back together. And today, as I'm being baptized, they're in Europe celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary.
That's awesome.
As a result of the cohesiveness of that grow group. So I just want to encourage you. I know at times what goes on in a grow group is tense and hard, but if you hang with it and you pray through, you can have impact that far exceeds what the group is doing. So I just want to encourage you in that.
That's great. We have a gift card we're giving away. I totally forgot about this. I just saw this. So, hey, is there anyone whose name is similar to Matt? Anybody whose name begins with an M? Okay, keep your hand up. Put your hand up. Stand up if your name begins with an M. Okay. Okay, if it begins, you have an A. M-A. If you don't have M-A, sit down. Yeah, M and A. Okay. Hey, Matt Ryan's the quarterback of my favorite team, and they're playing the Super Bowl, so you got that one right there. Go Falcons. Okay. What's that? Oh, I mean, they should win. You know? They've been there before.
They should, which is why I'm going here.
Exactly right. And I love the fact that Atlanta has a professional season. There's only one at high
school. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I grew up here in Atlanta, so that's the only team I've ever been for.
Hey, y'all. This has to be my Atlanta, so let's do this.
Hey, check this out. Hey, real quick. So I'm in Firehouse Subs coming over here.
Yeah.
And check this out. I walk into Firehouse. There's this guy muscled up everywhere. He's a veteran.
They're still organizing my drill through.
And at Firehouse.